We shall now turn to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. And you'll find our text in verse 18. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not ploughed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? Now we're observing today as Harvest Thanksgiving, and we have many reasons to give thanks to God. God has provided for us in great abundance. He has provided us with food and with clothes and homes and money and all sorts of things. And we are to thank God for His providence. How different things would be if we were in a country ravaged by famine and war and poverty and great need. So it's only right that we should return thanks to God. We should give thanks every day for our food. Every meal that we take, we should thank God for it. And it's right too that we should join together in public thanksgiving to God for His providence, for all His gifts to us, and especially, of course, for His unspeakable gift, His greatest gift, indescribable, the gift of His own Son. How wonderful it is that we have a Saviour. A Saviour who loved us and gave Himself for us. A Saviour who takes away all our sins. And a Saviour who gives us heaven. A Saviour who is freely offered in the gospel to sinners. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him take. We have a Saviour that we can freely offer to men and women. And as we've been learning on Sunday mornings in our studies, His flesh is meat indeed, and His blood is drink indeed. Well, first of all then, I would like us to note that God gives to His people a land flowing with milk and honey. The children of Israel were slaves in the land of Egypt. They were in a very low condition. They had to work hard for no wages. And they knew what it was to be under the lash of the taskmaster. They were oppressed until they were sighing and groaning before the Lord. And the Lord looked down from heaven upon them, had mercy upon them, took them out of the land of Egypt and gave to them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan, the land of Israel as we now know it today. A land that was superior to Egypt. In Egypt they had to water their crops with their foot, using foot pumps to take the water out of the Nile up to their fields. But the land of Israel was a land which was watered by God Himself with a watering can of heaven, with the rain and with the dew from above. The Lord looked after the land of Canaan, and He made it rich and prosperous. It was a land where you could get two harvests in the one year. A land of abundant harvests. A land flowing with milk. Now milk is very nourishing. Protein and the various vitamins and so on. And the nourishment that is to be found in milk. A land flowing with milk, with nourishment. And a land flowing with honey. Luxury, sweetness. the deliciousness of honey. That was Israel, taken from slavery and given a land of milk and honey. And you and I, we too have a land of milk and honey. Here in Britain, we have so much of everything, don't we? So much food. We go to our shops and there's always food in the shops. We always have enough money to buy food. It seems that a third of the children in our country now are obese. They're fat. They're eating too much. The problem is not skinny children, but children who are eating more than they need, eating too much. And yet we grumble and complain. How good we are at grumbling. We grumble about the rain, and we grumble about the wind, and we grumble about the cold, we grumble about the weather, we grumble about just about everything, don't we? Our health, our lack of energy, or we grumble about the people around us, maybe the people in our families. We grumble, we're always grumbling. And yet, good unto all men is the Lord. God's blessings, God's benefits coming to you and me. We should be always giving thanks, always praising God. We've got so much to be thankful for. How many people there are in the world who are in great need tonight, starving, or in great pain, or in great fear, being oppressed and downtrodden, or being used as slaves. You and I have freedom and luxury in abundance. In everything give thanks. Let us remember to be thankful. We thank God for harvest. So that's the first point. Secondly, God's people have a great enemy. Now we read in the story about Samson, and it's a very interesting story. We're told about Samson that he went down to the land of the Philistines, the uncircumcised Philistines, and he saw a woman in Timnath, and he liked her, he was attracted by her, and he wanted to have her as a wife. Now Samson was a man of God. A real man of God who had been very specially set apart to be a holy man. And so his father and mother said, "Is there never a woman amongst the daughters of thy brethren? Is there no one amongst all thy people that you could take as a wife? And instead you go and you take a heathen woman? Surely not." But Samson seems to have been quite a headstrong man. Although he was a godly man, he had huge faults. Huge faults. He was very passionate, lustful. That was a great temptation to her. So Samson said to his parents, "Get her for me. She pleaseth me well." His father and mother were very upset, but they didn't know that it was actually of the Lord. Well, in a sense, the Lord is in everything, isn't he? All things working together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The Lord is in everything, even in our sins. And it's amazing how God can even turn our sins to good. That's no justification for sinning. But here's Samson falling in love with this woman, but it was of the Lord to find an occasion against the Philistines, because they at this time were oppressing Israel. Israel had sinned and God had handed them over into the Philistines' hands, but now the Lord was beginning to have mercy upon Israel again and thinking of his people. And so he raised up Samson. And here was going to be one of the ways in which Samson would be begin to destroy the Philistines. Samson went down again, verse 5, to see this woman. And when he came to the vineyards of Timnath, a young lion roared against him. Now, that must have been a very frightening situation. Some people think of Samson as something like Goliath, great, big, huge fellow, big, hairy monster of a guy. But no, he was just an ordinary man. What gave him strength was when God's Spirit came upon him. He was just an ordinary fellow otherwise. I remember one or two occasions being confronted by a big dog, a big Alsatian or a Rottweiler growling at me. And it's a frightening situation to find yourself in. How much more terrifying to have a young lion and all its vigor and ferociousness roaring against you in the vineyard. Nobody's around. And you don't have a gun. You don't have a sword. You don't have a spear. You have no weapon in your hands. Just this beast coming out from behind a vine, roaring at you and about to leap on you to tear you to pieces. Well, we're told that you and I also have a lion roaring against us. We have Satan, don't we? And Peter describes him as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, friends, we say God is love, and we think of the love of God. But we've got to remember that there's one, and he's got no love, the devil. And he hates us. And he's ferocious. And he's powerful. And he's far stronger than we are. And he's walking about looking for an opportunity to leap upon you and destroy you. And we know the victory that he got over Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. And ever since then he's been destroying people and carrying them off down to hell with himself. So let us be aware of the roaring lion. It's more difficult that we can't see him, isn't it? And so we don't know when he's approaching. We've always got to be on our guard. It's constant warfare. So God's people have a great enemy. But thirdly, Samson gets a great victory. Not in his own strength. Not because of some weapon that he had. But we're told that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Satan is powerful, but God is more powerful. And when God comes upon us, we are more powerful than the devil. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he laid hands on the lion, and he tore him to pieces. Just like you might be able to tear a little goat that's just been born. It's thin and feeble, and it could be torn perhaps by a man, but here's a lion. And it's just torn in pieces. Maybe he caught it by its jaws and pulled its jaws in pieces and its whole body to shreds. He destroyed it. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he had nothing in his hand. And he tore this lion to pieces. Now friends, you and I are more than conquerors through him who loved us. we too can tear the lion to pieces. Not with a gun or a sword or a spear, but with the weapons, the spiritual weapons that God gives us. The breastplate of righteousness, trusting in the blood of Jesus. The shield of faith. And what's the shield of faith? Looking to the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, we have the Lord's strength and the Lord's protection. Praying to the Lord, we are protected. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's sword, what is it? The Word of God. Satan, you say, do this, but it is written, do that. God's Word says, no, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not lust, thou shalt not hate, thou shalt not lie. God says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but spiritual, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. With God's help, you and I can tear the lion. Resist the devil. And what will he do? Devour you? No. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stand against him. Stand on God's word. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your loins girt about with truth. God's word in your hand. And the shield of faith. And you shall conquer Satan. So remember you're in a warfare. And remember you need constantly to be fighting against the evil one.